All right, let me ask you a question. Thank you. Let me ask you a question. Not table talk, just think about it. Who is somebody famous that you would love to meet? Who is somebody famous way beyond you? I'm not saying that we're not famous, but you know what I mean. Like somebody like way out there that you would like to meet. Who is that? Now, as you're thinking about that, what would it be like to actually meet this person? How would you feel? I was thinking, I mean, there's all kinds of different sport figures or different people that I'd like to meet. A few authors of some books that I have all their books, and I would love to meet them. But when you actually sit down with somebody, how would you feel? Awe-inspired? I remember I got to meet one of my favorite authors, Mark Buchanan, at an SBC leadership conference a few years ago. And I was so tempted to bring all my books and have him autograph all of them. But he was just a normal human being. He was easy to talk to. But sometimes we look at these people and we go, you know, we'd almost want to bow down and worship the ground they walk on. Maybe, maybe not. But how would you feel? You see, what was happening at Jesus' time is that a lot of the Israelites, a lot of the Jews of that time had this image of God, rightfully so, that was so huge and beyond them that there was seemed like a veil between them and God. They felt they couldn't come to Him. And if you read the Old Testament, actually, if you read through it, you'll see how many times it says God is a compassionate God. God cares for it. We look at the Old Testament and go, oh, it's all about fighting and it's all about judgment. No, right through it, it's all about God is compassionate, loving God. And Jesus came to show that to the people, real and in person. Why does this matter? Why? Remember we asked that question.
Why?
Why? Why does this matter? Because too many people feel like they can't get close to God or that He doesn't have time for them. My mom believed that all her life. God doesn't have time for me. There's other people that have bigger problems than me. And she said that to me a number of times. That's why I remember it. It's so sad. Mom, you could have gotten to know God all your life because He actually really cares. And it's not that just that God knows me, but that I can know. It's not that God loves you. It's also you can love God. You can know God. We can know God. Jesus said in John chapter 14, we talked about last week, He says, anyone who has seen me, live and in person, here I am, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm showing you God up close and personal. I want you to be able to touch God. Do you remember? And I talked about this a few weeks ago. Remember when they came to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? And as they came to Him, He stepped forward and He said, who are you looking for? And they said, we're just looking for a man, Jesus of Nazareth. And what happened immediately? After He said, I am He, what happened? They all stepped back or fell to the ground or something significant happened that they just pushed back. I am. And that when Jesus said, I am, He's saying, I am God. That's the words right there. am, God. He said that a few times. But other times he gives descriptions that are a little more tangible, a little more personal. Scott talked about this a few weeks ago of, I am the bread of life, Jesus said. In a few moments, Titus is going to come up and together we're going to talk about, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I am the way. I am the truth, Jesus says. Jesus used simple illustrations to give more understanding of who God is. Simple illustrations. Simple pictures to take God as holy and amazing as he is and bring him down so that we know we can touch God. We just sang about that. To touch you, to see your face. So my point this morning, our point this morning, Jesus is a good shepherd. He is the good shepherd who deeply cares about you and me. Everything in our lives. Go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand, a worker, just a sheep herder, will run when he sees a wolf coming. Now, I'd like to pet a wolf, personally. I don't know if it'd want to be petted. I'm sure it'd probably eat my hand off or something. But there's different wild animals that will come to you that would strike fear in you and you'd run. At least a hired hand, a worker would. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him. He doesn't care. He isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. Just entered my mind. This is a good point here to think about your work. Is it just work or do you actually care about the work and the people that you do? That's free. That's not part of this message. You don't have to pay later for that. I am the good shepherd, verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep. And they know me. We know each other. The relationship between a shepherd and a sheep. It's funny, my middle son, our middle son, is a hog farmer. He actually manages a barn. And every once in a while, he'll send us a picture of one of the piglets. So cute. He loves most of the time, he loves the pigs that he takes care of. Any of you cattle farmers? And pig farmers? Any other animal farmers here? No, just grain and canola and all that kind of stuff. And, do you love your pigs and your chickens? So now, the shepherd here, actually, there's a relationship between the shepherd and the sheep, and he knows them by name. I have other sheep too that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. They will listen for my voice. The sheep knew the voice. Some of you have pets, and they know your voice. You can call them, and they'll come to you. But somebody else calls them, they won't. It's amazing how the voice works. I am a good shepherd. Now, there's other descriptors in Hebrews that talks about Jesus being the great shepherd. And in 1 Peter, it talks about Jesus being the chief shepherd. But in this passage, it's a good shepherd. They stress different aspects of the character of the shepherd. The chief shepherd and the great shepherd is about position. I am the chief shepherd. I am the head shepherd. I am the great shepherd. But the term good involves protecting, providing, and sacrificing. The good shepherd gives the personal and relatable side of the shepherd. So there's a balance there that we have where Jesus is the chief shepherd and the lead shepherd and the great shepherd. But at the same time, and depending on what's going through our lives, we don't need Jesus to lead us and to guide us. There's times when we do. There's other times when we need Jesus to just care for us. And we need to listen to his voice. Jesus used the common descriptor of a shepherd, which is well known. In fact, it almost appears at the time of Jesus that shepherds were actually lowly. The shepherds weren't really of high esteem. They just worked with sheep. Smelly sheep. And I'm sure those shepherds didn't smell very nice. And Jesus, I love that. He just takes the comment and goes, I'm like those shepherds. Because I don't care what you think of me. I love my sheep. Good means noble, is unique and passionate commitment to his sheep. Not just great, lording it over, I need to take care of these sheep, and sometimes he does step in and take care of sheep. I'm sure with the wolves and the bears and the other predators and other people, I'm sure the shepherd and Jesus as a shepherd would be very, very angry with anyone who wants to hurt his sheep. But with the sheep, it's very gentle. Isaiah chapter 40. After this, then Titus, you can come up. Isaiah 40, verse 10. Yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in power, and he will rule with a powerful arm. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them gently close to his heart. And he will gently lead the mother sheep with her young. Titus, come on.
What David is speaking here, he is speaking character of Jesus. We see throughout this psalm how a shepherd leads. How does a shepherd lead? I think he leads us to areas that we need to go to. In the NLT, it says, he lets me rest in green meadows. What does it mean to rest in green meadows? What does it mean as a sheep? As a sheep, I feel like if I was grazing in a green meadow, it'd be a great meal. It would be a time where I can where I can lay down and rest under a tree, under a shady tree. Where do we find this in our own lives? Where do we find this in our own lives? Where do we find the shady tree that God leads us to? Where do we find the green grass that we can munch on? I think the area that Jesus is trying to lead us is his word. I think his word is the shade, is the green grass that we eat from, the green grass that we get nutrients from. And that's where the shepherd leads us. A good shepherd leads to safe places. He leads to places that we need to go to. So that's what the green pasture, I think, looks like in our lives. For Christians to graze, I want to just gain some evidence from the Bible. So we're going to flip to Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. And this is God talking to the Israelites. He says, so he humbled you. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Psalm 19, verse 10. Says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and honeycomb. I think that's what reading the word does for us. It's sweeter than honeycomb. It's great for ourselves. The shepherd leads to safe places. I found a quote by Billy Graham that says, Jesus was a man of feverish activity. He went everywhere doing good, even though it was very much activity. There was a calmness and serenity about him. Even Jesus, when he was a man, needed the green pastures and the shady tree to lie under. So I didn't have a great transition, and this will be my transition back to Pastor Tim, but just the point that I want you to, that I want to leave with you, if you just forget everything, just remember, the Good Shepherd leads to safe places, so.
Excellent. Thank you, Titus. Very good. Let's give him a hand. He leads us to green pastures. He leads us. Why does this matter for you and me? Jesus knows you and me by name. And he reaches for you and me every day. We can know him deeply. He cares about what's going on in each of our lives. I love that, munching on the grass. He knows how to lead us to the green pastures. He cares about what's going on in each of our lives, the good stuff and the tough stuff. and he will meet you like a very good shepherd. That's where we can be encouraged this week. No matter what happened this last week, no matter what would happen next week, no matter what might happen a year from now, wherever Jesus, the good shepherd, leads, he's caring for us. He's encouraging us. Many times he's holding us. This afternoon, Judy and I are going to go to Steinbach and officiate a funeral for a 94-year-old woman. I don't know her as well. I know the family fairly well. And I heard that just a couple of days before she passed away, as she was lying in Bethesda Hospital, she said, "Where is Jesus? Where is he? Why isn't he coming to get me?" And then a few minutes later, all of a sudden, her eyes just wide open, clear as anything, she goes, "There he is. I see him." And she paused, and he's holding me in his arms. Ah, what a great picture. What a great illustration. What a great experience that she had. 94 years old, ready to go home. No matter what's going on in our days, he is the shepherd that cares and leads us home. So Todd and Amy, would you come, and we'll just look at the application and reflection. Here's some things to think about. Who have been the gentle people in your life? Who have been the gentle people like Jesus that Jesus uses to encourage and show gentleness and compassion and care? Where have been the green pastures? Think about that. Where have been the green pastures in your lifetime where God has met you and encouraged you and loved you and gave you the great grass to munch on? And during your daily quiet time this week, ask Jesus the shepherd and God the Father to come close. Let's pray together. Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for the good shepherd. We worship you as the great shepherd and the chief shepherd. But this time, we rest in you being good. And we will follow you, because as you lead us to the green pastures, there's life, grass, and sustenance for us. Jesus, impress upon us how much you love us. We pray in your name, Jesus, the good shepherd.